Recorded live.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace and peace again to you this morning. I'm Prophetess Sadira Davis, Soldiers of the Cross Ministries International. I am very excited today to bring you the word of the Lord. I pray that everyone is doing great on today because God is so good to us. Hallelujah. So I'm going to open up with a word of prayer and then we'll go right into the word. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come boldly to your throne of grace this morning, Lord God. We come excited and empowered by your word, by your spirit, and by your grace, O God. We thank you, O Lord God, that the words that I speak today, O Lord God, and share and deposit into your people, O Lord God, they will be spirit and life unto them, O Lord God. I thank you for your grace, for your anointing, O Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I openly declare my dependency upon you. I need you and I can't do anything without you. I love you, Holy Spirit, and I thank you for this message that you have given me to share with your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, the topic that I will be sharing on is the grace measure. And we're going to be turning to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. So if you want to take a moment and just get your scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's get that here. I just bless God for this word today. I believe that the Lord is going to unlock to you today the understanding of the grace measure. But in the midst of that, the key will be placed in the lock, and there will be an opening of the grace measure that God has placed onto your in your life, open to you, and an awareness of it and an understanding of it so that you can walk therein. Hallelujah. And the scripture reads in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, I will be reading from the Amplified Version, and it says, "Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately," that means not randomly, "but in different ways in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift." Hallelujah. So here we see that God has given us a grace, each one of us, individually, not randomly, but very specifically, God has given us a grace in proportion to the measure of Christ's gift. Hallelujah. So we know that Christ operated in the anointing without measure. Hallelujah. But we thank God that he has given a portion of that to us. Now, what is grace? Because oftentimes, and even in the scripture, in this Amplified Version, it speaks of grace as being God's unmerited favor. Hallelujah. But grace, we also know, is an empowerment. It is God's power placed into you, God's power given to you. So God has given a measure of power from himself unto us. Hallelujah. In proportion to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, God has given us grace for the specific assignment of our life. You know, I believe that as we walk through life, we begin to understand and see the grace that God has given us in our lives, even as people may notice that grace in our lives. Sometimes you may encounter certain challenges in your life, certain stumbling blocks, and people will say, you know what? I don't know how you do that. I couldn't do that. But thank God, it's the grace that God has given you, the power that God has given you to accommodate every situation and circumstance that you will face in your life. Also, it will accommodate every gifting and anointing that God has placed on your life. That grace, that power holds within it and contains within it everything you need to accomplish God's will. Let's turn quickly here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. We'll just turn back just a little bit. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And it says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So here we see Paul declaring and having an understanding of the grace that he had on his life. Hallelujah. He understood that God called him to be a minister of the gospel. God called him to be an apostle. God called him to be able to endure and face certain things. God called him to be able to unlock gifts in others and empower some to do the work of Christ. More specifically, God empowered him for the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And he says that. He says that this grace is given unto him that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So as we begin to know and understand the grace that's upon our life, God begins to fine-tune your purpose. God begins to fine-tune your destiny. God begins to let you see and understand that, wait a minute, I've been empowered for this specific people group. I've been empowered for this specific region, or I've been empowered even for the people that God has connected to me and my family. So there's a grace that God has given you for the specific assignment for your life. You know, whether you're called into fivefold ministry gift, whether you're called to just, whether you're called to answer the phones at a church, whether you're called to work in a law firm and deal with people who are facing bankruptcies, whatever your call is in life, you know, God has given you a grace measure for that. You know, growing up, I personally, if any of you have read my bio on our website, my mother was mentally ill, is mentally ill. She's the best that she's ever been in her life at this present time. But in my younger years, as that diagnosis really began to unfold in her life, God graced me and put inside of me a grace to have a mother that was mentally ill. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't want to see and we don't want to tap into the power that God has given us. We'd rather let the gift, that grace, go unnoticed or go unused. But God has gifted us and graced us to be able to encounter and handle and manage adequately every circumstance of our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God has graced us for the specific assignment, the specific call in accordance with the kingdom purpose. God has graced you for the specific region God has sent you in, what state you're in, the community you're in, all of those things. God has graced you for the era that you are born in, for the dispensation of Christ that you are living in. Hallelujah. God has graced you for the family you were born into. And that grace is all we need. Understanding that grace. The scripture in 2 Peter 1:3, and we're not going to turn there, but if you're familiar with the scripture, the Bible tells us that God has given us, according to his divine nature, all things that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Hallelujah. I want somebody to be excited today because you need to know and understand that God has already given you everything that you need that pertains to your life and living godly. My God. You know, some people would say, well, you know, I hadn't been taught certain things. Well, that's all right, because until you get to the teacher that you need for that level of your life, for that course, you know, your life is a course that God has set, just like a college course or a natural school course. There's a course set, and there are instructors that are set for each course that God has designed for your life. There are people that God has set, and there are people that you have been called to minister to and to help bring forth and carry forth the assignment of God in their life. But God has given you everything that you need that pertains unto life and godliness. And then as we go down, just looking back at the scripture, because we see Paul identified the grace that was given to him. He understood for the region and for the people group that it was given to him for. Then if we go down and look at verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, there's a comma, get this, according to the power that works in us. Wait a minute. You say, prophetess, hold on. Now, I knew God had given me certain gifts and talents, but I really didn't understand that the fullness of the power of the grace measure that God has put inside of me is how it's going to get accomplished. Glory be to God. God has put inside of you the power to get it done. Everything you need, everything that you need to be able to carry out the plan of God for your life is on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Let's turn here quickly. Romans chapter 5. I'm excited because, you know, it took me some time to come into understanding of the grace of God in my life. You know, as I was growing up, as I shared to a mother that was mentally ill, and God put me in a position where we almost had a role reversal, and I was like the mother, and she was like the daughter, and my mother really leaned and depended on me, not even just for caring for my younger brothers, my younger siblings, and such like that, but she counseled with me. I mean, in making decisions and things, you know, it's incredible what God does. At that time in my life, I didn't quite understand it, and definitely had some resentment and pain and felt like, you know, why don't I have a mother like everybody else and all of this, because I didn't understand that God had put inside of me what was needed. Yet, I was pouring forth. I was pouring forth, and I was carrying it out, and I was doing it, you know. I was able to walk through that season in my life, and I grew in the grace and power of God. And I believe that even in the midst of that, it made me sensitive to God's voice, because at a very young age, I began to hear God and began to know God's voice and began to move according to things that God would say for me to do. Hallelujah. So I know that, you know, as we tap into this, this will set you free and cause you to step up and operate at the next level. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Hallelujah. I want to just talk a little bit for a moment about the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart. Because I believe that the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart works with grace. Now, the scripture tells us that God is love. God is love. So the essence and nature and character of God is love. So the Bible tells us here in verse 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. God has smeared his character, his nature, his power and ability on the inside of you. Hallelujah. God has spread it out on the inside of you. Because, you know, most people are challenged with what? Walking in love. Because, again, they haven't understood what's inside of them. They haven't tapped into the grace and the love that's on the inside of them by God, been given them by God. How am I not able to forgive unless I haven't tapped into the love of God? How can I love myself rightly? So many people are challenged with self-esteem, low self-esteem. You know, and not loving themselves and feeling inadequate, feeling like a failure, or feeling like, you know, their shortcomings so outweigh what they may see as their skills and abilities in their life. That's because they haven't understood and tapped into the love of God that has been shed abroad in their hearts. God shed that love abroad in your heart. He made you like himself so that you can, one, love him, so that you can not only give love to him, but so that you can receive and understand his love for you. The preciousness of how much God loves you. So many hopeless people don't know that God genuinely, emphatically loves them. Loves them. And then that love is shed abroad in your heart, so that you can love yourself. How can we fulfill the commandments? The scripture tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and then love our neighbor as ourself. Well, how are you going to love your neighbor as yourself? How are you going to love your neighbor in a healthy, godly, fulfilling the commandment way if you don't love you? Come on. So God shed that love abroad in our hearts to enable us to love ourselves. And then, of course, the third reason that God shed abroad that love in our hearts so that we can love our neighbor, so that we can love our friends, our families, and our enemies, so we can pray for them. You know, some people say, you know, well, I can't pray for my enemies. You know what? They get on this person or that person, get on my nerves, and you know what? I just can't do it. Not so. You haven't tapped into the love that God has shed abroad in your heart. You can do it. You know, I always think it's kind of strange when people talk about and admire the love that Apostle and I have for God's people, for one another. You know, it's something that is often, you know, people make comments about it. And, you know, I think about it, I say, you know what, I just don't know how to be any other kind of way almost, you know. But I come to realize it's because I've understood and come to know the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I have become intimately acquainted with him who is love. Hallelujah. So therefore, I can walk in love in the fullness thereof. I can love and forgive like Christ freely loves and forgives us. I can walk in that love and freely love and forgive others. How could Christ be nailed to the cross, spit on, ridiculed, cussed at, taking pain and jeers and insults from the people? Up on it, he's up on the cross, and he's hurting, and he's bleeding, and all of that. And he said, Lord, you know what? Forgive them, because they don't even have a clue. Hallelujah. I thank God for that love. I thank God that he is love. I thank God that he's put that love on the inside of me. You know, it's that grace measure. It's that love and that grace measure that enables me to do that. It's that grace measure that lets the prophet see as God sees. See, it's God himself
on the inside of you that enables you to operate in that power that he's given you from himself. It's that grace measure that enables the evangelist's heart to break the way God's heart breaks when he thinks about the souls of people being separated from him. When he thinks about that, when his heart breaks because people suffer unnecessarily when he sent his son and paid the price. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's that grace measure. It's that capacity, that power of God, that empowerment of God that causes a teacher to desire earnestly that people understand the word. Glory. Hallelujah. So it's love coupled with co-laboring and working with grace in our hearts that enables us to understand this measure and to walk therein. Let's look at let's go to Romans chapter 11. Let's just walk here in the scriptures. I thank God for his word. I thank God that he would not have us ignorant according to the word. He would not have us ignorant, but he wants us to know and understand what all he's given us and what it's for and how to use it. And, you know, that's like giving somebody a gift that's very complex and not giving them the instructions. And they have it, and they're thinking, man, did any instructions come with this? But thank God, glory to God, he's given us his word. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to speak to us and reveal and unfold that word to us. So let's look at Romans chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 here. We're going to focus on verse 5, but I'm going to read 1 through 5. And it says in Romans chapter 11, it says, I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scriptures say of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Hallelujah. I want to declare to you today, if you're on this call, if you're listening to it from the archives, that God has called you. Even at this present time, as a part of the remnant according to the election of grace. God has prepared you for this end time season. God has put a grace measure inside of you, gifts, talents, and abilities, and power and anointing to stand fast in his grace. This end time remnant is endowed with a special grace of God for this season. Hallelujah. An ability to endure, an ability to see the word magnified on a new level to bring truth and revelation to the people of God. Even as we see in the scriptures, as it talks about and recalls the time when Elijah was failing for a moment and was feeling like, Lord, I'm the only somebody, and the Lord said, wait a minute. You're not the only somebody. I got a remnant, and I've got 7,000. Hallelujah, that have not bowed their knee. God has graced many people to walk in. Well, great. God has graced all believers. God has graced and given a grace measure to each one, as we read in Ephesians 4. Not randomly, but very specifically and in different ways. So we see that Elijah realized his grace. He said, wait a minute, I'm still standing. I'm a part of that remnant. I'm not alone, but there are others that have this grace too. Let me keep on. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to see others walking in their grace to realize, wait a minute, that's the same thing that's on the inside of me. I got that same thing. Let me walk on. You know, sometimes we need that. Sometimes we have to see somebody standing strong. I definitely believe that God has set men and women of God. God has set leaders to be an example. You know, Paul talks about following him as he follows Christ. Surely I believe that and trust that and pray that people will follow me as I follow Christ, as I exemplify a godly example of godly living and godly service, that people will follow, that they will not only acknowledge and see the grace measure in my life, but then they will begin to look at their own life and say, wait a minute, that's some of that same in the inside of me. That same power, that same grace, that same anointing is working from my inside. You know, I've been overcoming over here. I've been counseling people over there. I've been saying things that people have been saying I'm dead on. You know, realizing the grace that God is giving you and walking therein. And understanding truly that that grace is enough. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul talks, you know, is talking to the Lord about his challenges, you know, about the thorn in his flesh and how he wants it out, you know, and how he's being weighed down and buffeted, you know. And the Lord speaks to him an empowering word, but declares to him to look within you because I've given you power, and says, my grace is sufficient. That's 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient. God says that the grace measure that I have given to you is more than enough for you to do what I've called you to do. Dare not insult God and say, Lord, I can't do this. If you in it, you got it, baby. If you're in a situation, then God has graced you with the measure to handle it. You know, some, you know, often talk about and recall the grace of patience on Job's life. You know, when you think about Job and God honoring him, oh, my God, somebody needs to hear this. God honoring him to allow Satan to touch his life. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. You know, folks don't want to talk about that because they think, oh, wait a minute, a little something going on in my life. I'm challenged a little bit. I done lost a few things. You know, I'm faced with certain financial challenges in this recession. And, you know, they begin to look at their circumstances and situations and begin to woe is me. But let's look at Job. The Bible says that the Lord called him upright. Let me turn there real quick, because, you know, we got a people right now, a generation that needs to know that it ain't over, and God has graced you. His grace is sufficient. I don't care what you're facing. His grace is sufficient. The Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Don't tell me God can't be using you and you faced with some challenges. He may have just said, this is my honored daughter, this is my honored son, because they fear me and they love me. They walk in maturity. They've tapped into the grace measure in their life. They hate evil. Oh, that's my son, that's my daughter. You know, I know in the country, I don't recall hearing this much growing up in the North, but in the country, you know, they say that boy is the spitting image of his daddy. And I didn't know that that meant the spirit and image of. They say it's a spitting image. That's the spirit. That person depicts the spirit and image of whomever they're claiming that person does, their father. Well, God might have just looked at you right about now and said, you know what? That daughter, that son, that's the spitting image of me. They personify my spirit and image. And you know what? I know the devil can't take them down because they're like me. Hallelujah. You better give him glory. Tell him thank you in the midst of it. And so God allowed the enemy to test Job and see, was he really all that God had said? Can you wait on God? Can you tap into the grace measure that's in your life and put your feet, plant your feet steady and strong and stand in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of challenge, in the midst of fear and adversity? I'm here to tell you that you can. Because I know that God has given you a grace measure. God has poured out unto you. God has given to you a special empowerment for your life and for this season. God is so good. He is so good, and he is so wise and such a strategist. My God. I mean, the Bible tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But don't you get amazed when you just think about how he does some things. He's such a strategist. He's got a plan. You know, my favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord tells us that he knows the plans that he has for us, plans for good and not evil, plans to prosper us and give us a future, a hope and a future, and expect it in. God knows the end. But if you have been set inside of him, and you can begin to look at and tap into the grace measure in your life, you can go over every situation mightily. You can truly walk as a conqueror and triumph in him. It's God's will that you operate in this grace measure. It's God's plan that you understand and know that his grace is sufficient. He packaged it up nice, put it inside of you who is fearfully and wonderfully made, and put everything in the inside that you needed for your course of life. Every single thing that you needed for your course of life, God put in your grace measure. Glory to God. He put it inside there. He foreordained you. He foreknew you. And he planned. You know, I when I think about it, you know, it could just be me. I don't know about the rest of y'all. It could just be me. But, you know, when I think about God in heaven, and I think about him looking upon the earth, and I think about his wisdom and his all-knowing, his omniscience, and I think about him, his strategy, and I think about how he and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are sitting there together at the throne, and they say, you know what, see all that's going on, and, you know that right there is coming, and that, you know what, let's call Sidera. And then they breathed into my mother's womb, and God brought me forth with everything that I need inside of me to be effective at the specific appointed time that he had me to come into the earth. You know, people don't realize that God is so specific and strategic in his call forth of mankind. When he calls someone forth, it's absolute in plan and purpose and intention. God is not doing things haphazardly. He has a specific and intention and plan. And you know that God loves mankind enough, you know, that he'll send you, he'll send to me, he'll create someone just for someone else. How about that? God will create you, have created you just for some other people. There are some people that he's created you just for. The way you look, the words you'll say, your accent, how you walk, everything about you. Created specifically to fulfill his plan and purpose, not only for your life, but for somebody else's life. My God. My God. You mean to tell me, Prophetess Davis, that when God made me, he not only had me in mind as a precious gift, because the Bible says that children are a blessing and a gift from God. When he gave me to my parents, not only was I a gift to them, but I was a gift to the world. And when we talk about the nations, we talk about the people groups that the path of my life would be aligned to meet and cross paths with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so wise. God is so wise. I tell you a story, a personal story, about my life affecting the life of somebody else. And I'm sharing this just for that purpose, just so you can get a full sense of this grace measure. When I was younger, I lived in New Jersey. I grew up in New Jersey. And there was a young lady that God had me to befriend. And we in elementary, around in elementary school, and we remained friends, not very close, but we remained friends. But around about our early teen years, God just connected us in a very special way. And as I share, you know, the prophetic worked in my life as from a child, you know, on up to my present. I didn't understand all the workings and all the specifics of it, but it was absolutely in work in my life. And God had me had just a special care in my heart for this person. And I was the kind of child, and my parents, God gives you to the parents that know you and can work with you and such like that. So my parents knew that I was a special child, if you want to say. And so at 15 years old, this young girl, this friend of mine, was very challenged in her life. She was adopted and experienced abuse in her adoptive home. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, and was just in a really bad way. And my heart went out to her, but I heard the word of the Lord. I heard the Lord say that I needed to take this girl under my wing, and mind you, I was 15, but I needed to take her under my wing, and I needed to just be with her, that if I didn't do this, she was going to die. Well, at the time, my father was in transition and moving us to Georgia. And I remember telling my father, I said, if this person can't go, then I'm not going. And I tell you, I mean, God is just so awesome. And my father said, okay. Can you believe that? But my father said, okay. And we took this young girl. And she's my sister. I call her my sister. You know, we are not natural sisters, but we are sisters according to the will of God. But God brought her close, and God had my family, my father, to adopt her. And, you know, we went through things with her adopted mother disowning her and saying, I don't want her, leave her on the street and all that. And my father said, okay. So from that point until now, my father claimed her as his daughter, just as myself. And so I was telling you all of that to say that God will put inside of you the very thing that somebody needs, hallelujah, to rescue them out of the hands of the enemy and set them free and set them on a path of righteousness and unlock the gifts and talents that's on the inside of them and assure them and encourage them of the sufficiency of God's grace in their life. Hallelujah, to raise them up and to set them on a course of righteousness. If God has called you in any capacity in the body of Christ, you have such a power on the inside of you to change the lives of people that you have no idea. That you have no idea. Somebody's life is in the balance. And they need you to stand up and say what God is saying. They need you to walk in the unction that you feel God unctioning you to move and do on their behalf. Don't question the grace measure. Walk in the grace measure. Hallelujah. Let God use you in the way that he designed you and fashioned you and prepared you to use you in. My God. I don't know if my sister, you know, I mean, our love goes deep, but I don't know if my sister ever thought about, you know, because she's had her own personal issues with, you know, low self-esteem, being, you know, being put up for adoption and the things, you know, and she's grown tremendously, you know, but going through those thoughts in her mind and feeling low, You know, I don't know, does she ever think, you know what, she may have just looked at the low side. But if she ever come into a place where she can look and say, wait a minute, God loved me so much that he prepared and fashioned someone's life and gave them an ability to tap into the grace measure in their life to stand up and reach out even in their youth and take me by the hand and say, don't worry, it's going to be okay because God got a plan. I don't understand it all. I don't know it all. But I know that God's got a plan for your life. And God said, just stick with me. Just come on and be with me. And God had me to mentor and fashion her life for all of these years, to bring her into the place of her destiny. God does that. God makes people for people. God makes us. Puts himself on the inside of us, creates us in his spirit and his image, packages us with that grace measure. You know, if you want to see it as your knapsack that has everything you need for your road journey, you know, put everything that we need in there and then send us on a path of life with a destiny, that there are people that you're going to pass in the course of their life, that you're going to say something, you're going to deposit something, that you're going to awaken something, you're going to speak life into their situation. Maybe you're going to speak life into the vision that God has given them. Maybe you're going to give them hope to move forth in something that God has told them to do that they've been sitting on for years, and God's been commissioning them and calling them and calling them, and you're going to walk by, and the measure of grace that God, the power that God has put into your life is going to touch them and jumpstart inside of them their destiny. You don't have a clue of the value that's in you. But today I pray in the name of Jesus that it has become awakened and alive. I'm going to pray a prayer as I prepare to close and then open up, of course, the lines for questions and discussions. But I want to pray a prayer for those that are on the line and those that will listen to this call, that God will begin to unlock from this day forward all of the things needed on the inside of you to accomplish his will and plan. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne and we thank you, Father. We thank you and we repent right now for our misunderstanding, for our denial or our turning away from the grace measure that you put on the inside of us, oh Lord God, that you've distributed to us a gift of power and ability to accomplish your will and plan. And Father, we ask you right now to touch those places and unlock those gifts, unlock the grace bag, unlock the grace measure, that all the things that are inside of it to accomplish your will and plan in those lives of the persons who are hearing my voice and who will hear my voice upon calling in, Lord God, unlock the grace measures and the gifts and talents and anointings in their life right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to you, grace measure, in the name of Jesus, and I say come alive, be awakened, be ignited, and be made manifest in the earth right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for and pray for faith and confidence in the lives of the believers that will hear this call, that they will walk boldly and upright, like Job, fearing you and hating evil, O Lord God, that they will be vessels of honor that will display you to the best advantage in this earth, O God, that they will be true ambassadors, understanding that heaven is their home, that they're here on purpose, that they will live purpose-driven lives each day, living it on purpose, seeking to touch the lives of those that you would have them to encounter, that they might be your arms, your hands, your eyes, your arms that will hug somebody and let them know that you love them, O Lord God, that they will be your mouthpiece, that they will speak your very will and plan and purpose for the life of another, that they will all operate as a true body of Christ, fulfilling your will and your plan and your purpose. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, I want to open the calls up. open the lines up. I pray that God has ministered something to you today. And if you have any comments at this time, we'll take them, or any questions. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that would like to make a comment today or have any questions? Well, praise God. Well, we thank God for you today. All of those of you who are on the call, we thank God for you. And we ask that if you'd like to know more about us, about the Soldiers of the Cross Ministries International and Keith Davis Ministries, that is an outreach of that, that you will visit us on our website at socmi.net. That's socmi.net, where you can learn more about the vision that God has given us, that you will also be able to sow a seed if God so places in your heart to sow into the ministry, that we might continue to reach many, many souls for the kingdom, that we might continue to be able to strengthen and support leaders all over the world, leaders for God, and counsel and unlock the gifts and commission and set forth leaders in the body to accomplish God's will and plan for their life. We thank God for you. We love you with the love of God, and God's grace, mercy, and peace to you. Amen.